CliffCentral.com.
Shots fired.
South African clients aren't brave enough. Boom. South African clients aren't brave enough.
G-G-G-Man,
Batman. Is this the Donovan Goliath who looks like Nina Hasty?
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com.
Advertising people are some of the smartest, most creative, wisest people I know. Like, truly. Money is a recreatable asset. Time isn't. Boom. Time isn't. Isn't.
With G-G-G-Man, Batman. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com. Shots fired.
You have to have more black people in the agency. We tend to apologize for this or be a bit apologetic about how we say it. And it's 22 years down the line. So, fuck that.
G-G-G-Man, Batman.
Fuck that.
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com.
If you're in a South African advertising agency, your third bottom line has undeniably got to be the development of black talent and the transformation of your agency. Maybe we're spending a little bit too much money on awards and not enough money on training and transformation.
G-G-G-Man, Batman. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com.
Hello, 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 hello. What's up? It's your boy, G-Man, the ad man. Yeah, and we're back. It's been another week of fantastic advertising. Well, yeah, let's not overplay it. Not necessarily fantastic advertising, because, you know, those insurance ads are still out there. So, it's been another week of advertising. What's going on? What's going on, you guys? No, but those guys, those things are special. You know, like, I saw one with the referees, with them, because I think it's super rugby starting soon. So there's one of the referees where they've got these three guys dancing awkwardly in the middle of an office somewhere. And I'm like, so did these guys not know the shoot was going to happen? Did they just, you know what I mean? But yeah, just check it out. It's quite a thing. But yeah, it's your boy, G-Man the Adman, and we're out here again. I've got an amazing show for you today. You're going to meet I've got two guests. You know what I mean? You know, I told you guys, if you've been following me on social media, I told you about one guest, but I've actually got two guests in the studio with me today. And we're gonna have ourselves some fat chat about all things advertising and about the amazing stuff that they're up to. But let's cover some of those things, some of those news that we normally do during this time. Designing Dharma is on right now, and that's dope. That's always dope. It's one of those things that, you know, I remember in the agency, it was always one of those things that there was always a debate. Would you rather go to Designing Dharma or would you rather go to Lurie's? And most people were like, yeah, Designing Dharma also feels like I come back with more of a feeling that I've learned stuff. And I think it actually helped the Lurie's start doing things like their masterclasses before the ceremony starts and all that. So it's influenced a whole bunch of other things around it. But yeah, Designing Dharma is out, but it's also expensive. Yeah, you don't just go to Designing Dharma. That's why a lot of people didn't go. Huge shout out to the likes of Mlu and Balikani, who are out there at the simulcast. The simulcast Tasiminya, as Mlu put it, in at Fox Street. But I mean, you know what? I think it's quite cool to be able to be close to all that stuff, because, you know, those Designing Dharma guys also don't play. You don't get to see those things on YouTube. You know, nobody's YouTubing those bad boys. So you actually have to go to the thing to see the stuff. So huge shout out to everybody who's out there at Fox Street. Have yourselves a great time. I mean, I wonder if they're going to have a Design in the bar there as well, you know, because, you know, there's that bar that they have a Design in the bar that you go to during the interval, and if you know that some guy that's talking afterwards is not someone you want to hear, so you just sit at the in the bar. But I hope you guys have an in the bar there so that you can make that call for yourself. So that's it. That's Design in the bar. So, I mean, this show is about branding, right, and about how brands do and stuff. And the Metro FM Awards. The Metro FM Awards were this past weekend. And I'm really curious to know what that has done to the brand Metro FM. Like, I would love to know what brief is sitting on the desk of the creatives or the agency that handles Metro FM. Because, wow, guys. I mean, talk about scandal after scandal after scandal. And then after bad planning. I mean, the lighting was bullshit, apparently. People who were at the ceremony, I mean, we thought we couldn't see anything on the TV, but people at the ceremony apparently couldn't see much. And then there's the whole saga about awards being bought and sold. There's Black Coffee tweeting that maybe it's about time Metro FM concentrating on being a radio station and leave awards alone. I mean, you know what? I don't know whether it deserves it or not, but... Yeah, black coffee. Hey. Anyway, so yeah, and then there's Ricky Rick getting on stage talking about how awards are bought and sold. So I mean, I'm sure that the Metro FM brand must have some serious like cleaning up to do right now. So it'll be interesting to see how they come back from that. I mean, talking about brands that kind of need a real cleanup. I'm not going to spend too much time on this because it actually also irks me and it irritates me a lot that we're still talking about xenophobia in this country. It's real bullshit. It really is still bullshit. And I feel like there's something that us in the advertising world should be doing out there that's more than just a poster, or that's more than just a TV ad or a 45-second web ad that you're hoping is going to win you an award. We have to do more than that. There's some real stuff that I think there's some real solutions that you and I should be coming up with to solve this. Because also, over and above that, on a very superficial level, the brand South Africa is suffering from this. You know, throughout the continent, we're going back to being seen as those people who didn't see themselves as part of the continent. And I think that's a huge thing that we all should be concerned about. So I'm hoping that also the people who have brand South Africa as their client have got something in mind, and all the other brands out there have got something in mind, just like how every brand, you know, I've seen people who you do things like window cleaners talking about the death of Mandoza. You know what I mean? You want to be relevant on everything. How about you be relevant on stuff like this right now? So I think it'd be great for people to step up and be about this. I saw a campaign that Standard Bank launched a couple of days ago, the hashtag Today campaign. So huge shout out to the guys at Native and the boys at Book of Swag. You know those guys, friends of the show. A huge shout out to those cats. That campaign looks fantastic. It's all over social media. Go to the website. Go to Standard Bank website. Go to Facebook pages, and it's on Instagram. And it promises to be something that's going to unfold into some dope stuff. I'm not going to delve too much into it, you know, because I've not seen the purchase order. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? I'm all about the invoice, if you know what I mean. But it'll be really great to get some of those guys on the show sometime soon, and to talk about the campaign and tell us what that's about. So hit us up twice, and all your cats and the guys at Native, Michelle, guys, hit me up. And then let's come have a chat about your campaign. So good thorough work on that one as well. And then, speaking of things to celebrate, right? So here I was checking out where my mug lives. You know, shout out to the homie Mr. Hammond Manson at Mug Lives. And I was checking out this stuff, and it turns out somebody that we all know, somebody that we all might know, Ms. Masego Motsoagi, right, has been appointed the managing director of 99 Cents, but the Joburg agency. I mean, how dope is that? Masego, what's up? What's going on? I think it's a huge, huge, huge move. Obviously, 99 Cents are opening their new agency up in Joburg. Apparently, that's going to be on the 1st of March. 1st of March? That's today, right? That's today. So from today, okay? So from today, Masego is empty at 99 Cents at Joburg. So I mean, congratulations, and to everybody out there who knows Masego knows how dope she is and what a great spirit she is, and I'm sure she's actually going to like inject a whole bunch of energy. And it's a new place, you know. There's always an opportunity to bring like, you know, a new energy to a new spot, and actually just kind of, you know, shake up that Cape Town thing. You know what I mean? Just show those Cape Town guys that there's another way to be doing this. So I'm really, really excited about that. That's dope. Oh wait, there's another brand that fucked up in the last couple of days. The Oscars brand. I mean, you know, they Steve Harvey themselves nicely there, you know. But I also feel like that stuff is also far away from us. But you also get to see how easy it has become to fuck shit up, right? I mean, the conspiracy theories of all kinds around that entire thing and what it was. You know, I don't have a lot of time for conspiracy theories, but yeah, you know what? Yeah, Moonlight won. That's all it is. But I think the Oscar brand, I can sense that there have been some meetings where things were thrown around. There was obviously some intern out there who's gotten it nicely, and whose name we're never going to find out. Or maybe they might write the tell-all book later in their lives. I don't know why we'd buy it. But you know what? You know yourselves. You're going to go out there, you're going to buy it. In fact, the brief is going to land up on your table. And the guys at Accomplice are probably going to do a book peek review for that book. So it's going to be amazing. It's going to be great. So we look forward to that. But you know what? In the past couple of weeks, I've also recognized that, hey, I've done these monologues, man. Hey, I've been running my mouth in the past couple of weeks. So, but the fact that I've got two guests with me today feels like I shouldn't run my mouth too much. Right? It feels like let's get into meeting these two cats that I've got with me today. One has traveled further than the other. You know what I mean? But You know, the one that traveled further was here first. You know what I mean? He was here. He came all the way from Botswana, but he was here first. Then the guy from down the road came in just on time. I mean, he wasn't late, but he was just in time. You know what I mean? So I've got two guys in the studio with me today. You know what? Let's start with the guy from Botswana, because he came from far, right? So so you guys might know about you know, if you follow me on social media and I'll just you know, active enough on Twitter, you'll know that you know, there's this amazing thing called the Ideas Expo. In Botswana, and I've been privileged enough to have gone to this great event, and even gone there to judge the amazing Sekhaya Awards. Shout out Botswana, what's going on? And I met this young gentleman out there, you know, ball of energy all the time, you know, constantly working, constantly asking dope questions. But then again, that's also part of the reason why he's out here in SA. So sitting with me in the stew is the guy you always see tweeting and sending me stuff on Facebook. Fantastically is Mr. Siabe George. What's going on, bro? What's going on? Speaking to the mic, son.
Dumela.
That's a directional mic, brother.
Dumela.
Pula.
Hey, what's up, everybody? My name is Sabe George, all the way from Botswana.
Yeah, I've already said that part.
Yeah, I've said that part.
But tell us what you're doing here. What are you doing out here in SA?
Actually, I'm on transit to design and I'm a day late, actually.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'd say.
Yes. And then I just came here to see a couple of people, meet and greets with a couple of agencies.
Yeah.
I mean, I met the guys from Studio 214 yesterday.
All right, shout out to the 214. That's Mr. Cody and Mr. Melissa. What's going on?
Yeah, man. And then the day before, I had a good session with the guys at Marvin. I was with George, and then just
shout out George. There's also other friends of the show.
Yeah, friend of the show.
Yeah,
man. So I'm heading to Cape Town for Design Endeavor.
Yeah,
first time there.
Yeah,
you know, I know it's expensive, man.
Yeah, man.
So
yeah,
I
man.
I'll be working.
But isn't your guys' currency doing better than ours?
Yeah.
No.
Ever so slightly.
Yeah, man. But yes, like I'm saying, I'm heading to Design Endeavor just to learn more about the industry more, actually, you know.
Oh, that's dope.
Yeah.
And what's the industry? What's going on out there in Botswana, man? Tell us what's the industry.
I think from our level, in terms of I'm a partner in a digital and experiential agency.
There we go. He's partner, guys. He's not just a copywriter or a photographer. He's partner.
So it's a very small.
What's it called?
It's called Wow Factor Africa.
Okay, Wow Factor Africa.
Yeah, Wow Factor Africa. All right. So it's a very small industry, but we're growing. You know what I mean?
Fantastic.
And then, digital is a completely new thing in Botswana, and then our clients are really getting into it. You know,
that,
which is a good thing. You know.
Yeah.
I remember like 2 years back, I think there were like two agencies which were doing digital. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But today, still growing and all that. You know
That's
what
dope.
I mean? And then nowadays. Clients can really understand what digital is, you know, and then they're putting a bit of budget into it and also that, you know.
Oh, so
it's a really great industry, and we really, really appreciate you of that, you know what I mean?
I think that's really cool, I think I know that you guys have got a couple of guys from out there, have got a couple of partnerships or understandings with guys from SA, just from an ideas exchange kind of thing, and just kind of getting words across the border, you know what I mean, about what's going on and how to get better. Do you find that like things like inviting judges, inviting people, speakers from SA to the Ideas Expo in Botswana has had an impact on that?
Yeah, definitely. But I think from the presentation that we've seen during Ideas Expo, you know what I mean? It has been presented by guys who've been in the industry for a very long time. You know, guys who have worked on very, very good campaigns. You know, campaigns that have won at the Lurus, campaign that have won at Cannes.
That's right.
You know, and then for a small industry as Botswana, you know, we look up to South African industry. You know, I don't want to lie. And then,
that's right.
People get a whole lot of inspiration in terms of writing good copy, you know, creating content and all that, you know. So it's been working very, very, very well. And then we really continue to do that, you know what I mean?
That's dope.
Just to bring in people who have more experience, you know.
Yeah.
And then, also the other thing is learning, it's teaching clients in terms of the value for putting in more budget into big campaigns.
Yeah.
More especially in the TV industry, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
TV season Botswana, I mean, we still yet to get there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But I've charged that one.
You know what I mean?
So, TVC Plus, you guys also don't care about duration.
You know, so it's been growing well. It's been growing well. And then I've seen last year Velocity Africa came down to Botswana, did some good stuff for a local telecom company there.
That's right, BTC, you know, right?
Yeah, BTC.
Yeah. Shout out to the guys at BTC.
I thought maybe you're not gonna mention prices because they have to pay an invoice.
Nah, nah, it's okay.
Just kidding.
This is unreal.
You know what I mean? So
please. It's so,
I like to really give that it's been a very good example. You know what I mean? I've seen a whole lot of marketing execs, you know what I mean? Starting to appreciate that, you know, you have to put a good meter plus, you know, 1 million plus into a TVC, you know what I mean?
And they're coming on board with that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, slowly they're coming, but they are seeing that, okay, now there's a difference between putting 100,000 or 50,000 into a TVC. Now you have to, you know, increase the budget and all that, you know what I mean?
That's what's up.
So that's a good influence that I've been seeing. And then I think the whole thing should be translated into other campaigns, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, and then from there, the industry will grow, and then definitely we employ more people. Mm.
Dope
yeah.
shit.
Yeah.
That's Mr. Simon George, y'all, all the way out from Botswana, out here ripping the boys from Gap City. That's what's up. Shout out Botswana. So let's get to the other man that's sitting with us out here. You know you go to their website, right? And you read up on kind of all the profiles. In fact, when you open up their website, you just kind of go, boom. I mean, there are a bunch of cool people that work at this place. and you go, damn it. How can one be a part of this, right? and then you read up on my guest now, and it says things like he's a polymer who believes in the power of innovation. I mean, check this out. In the first sentence, you describe a man as a polymer. I mean, get out of here, guys. That's crazy shit. I mean, guys, you don't just get that all the time. You know what I mean? Nigga's a polymer. And it says here that he's got a fascination with technology. He created his first computer game at the age of 10. I mean, guys, I don't think, I know what I was doing at the age of 10. I was making slot balls. You know what I mean? And this man he created his first computer game. So sitting with me right now, right in front of me right now, ladies and gentlemen, is Mr. Neo Matsau from the Bamboo Network.
Yeah, Nikai.
What's going on, Neo, man?
Good, man, good.
Yeah, man, we've been trying Thanks to get you on the us. Show for a while, man.
Thank you, man. It's an honor.
Yeah,
awesome
yeah.
to be here with you.
No, it's great to have you here, man. It's great to have you.
Yeah.
Dude. Tell me what you guys are working on. Let's start with like what's on your desk right now. You know, before when you left now, when you said I'm coming now.
Oh, what's on
your
desk
right now? Yeah.
Well, we just won the digital business for Sunlight.
Boom.
Number one brand.
What's going on? What's going on?
So that landed in my inbox, I think, about 15 minutes ago. So that's the fresh.
Guys, that's what's up. Guys, that's what's going on. I told you guys about G-Man the M-Man and how I land the news to you first, y'all.
Yeah.
That's dope, man. Congratulations, man. That's dope.
Thank you. Yeah.
So what does that entail? Do you know all those details yet? Or
yeah, for sure. I mean, Unilever is a big client of ours. We're working really well with them. But I think what's key is we've been able to solve a lot of business problems. And
okay.
our approach is completely fresh.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's what's really important, I think, in this game now. Is not to be stagnant. I mean, some of the ways of operating are kind of 80 years old.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think it's about time people took a fresh approach. See if it works.
Yeah.
Try it out, you know, take a little bit of risk.
That's right.
I mean, you look at companies like Google, right?
Yeah.
And they think of themselves, we're like, okay, it's a search engine. But we know that Google is an ad company, right?
That's right.
That's what makes their revenue. So why don't we think about our businesses that way? So that's why we think about defying definition a little bit, you know.
That's
like
right, that's
I don't
right.
really want to say we're a digital agency or we're right.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
we're
yeah,
actually,
yeah.
But we actually solve business problems.
That's
right?
That's great.
Because what you're finding is like some of the management consultancies are starting to come into like our space, right?
Yeah,
like,
that's right.
Into the
that's
ad
right.
space.
Yeah.
But why is it that we can't
go in the opposite direction?
Exactly. So
that's actually an interesting question. Yeah.
How are we thinking more deeply about the business problems?
Yeah.
And using our creative skill set to differentiate ourselves. So it's like
boom.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Man. Dude, I like that a lot because I've always been about that. You know, like the fact that we have to kind of up the way we see ourselves first. You know what I mean? Because there's obviously and I'm the first to admit that I think that there's a level of expertise that we've allowed to get eroded by the fact that, you know, we still keep coming up with the same solutions as people did 80 years ago to
yes.
your point, you know.
Yes.
So we're still coming up with like and then when we say we're breaking the mold, then we call ourselves digital.
Yes,
you know what
yes,
I mean?
Exactly,
we say,
exactly.
Let's break the mold. Let's not make a TV ad, but maybe we make it not, it's not 30 seconds, it'll be 55 seconds and online.
Yep.
That's the solution. You know
precisely,
what I mean?
Precisely.
But I feel like there are other things that we should be doing. But I mean, talk to us about your offering. Like, what is it? I mean, I know you say that, you know.
Sure.
Just, yeah, so, what do you guys
so
do?
I think more importantly than anything is I think if you consider marketing as 50% of a business, right?
Yeah.
You come to us with a marketing problem, right?
Right.
And unlike a pharmacy that just has Panado, who can only sell you Panado.
Right.
We try to have a pharmacy, right, with different solutions, and we put them together in a different way.
Boom.
Obviously, the problem has always been about selling to people, and has always been about changing behavior.
Yeah.
That problem set is never going to change.
Yeah.
But the tools that we have are changing.
That's right.
So it's just a different tool set, but it's the same problem. It's like a handyman having a drill instead of a screwdriver.
Yeah.
We're doing the same thing. We're still fixing a faucet, but we've got better tools now. You know?
Boom. Yes. Yeah. I love the definition. I like that so much because I do feel like I feel like it's about time now. You know what I mean? And I was talking to someone the other day about actually quite interesting. I mean, it might seem like another one of my monologues, but
yes.
I was actually chatting to Reason, the rapper. Shout out Reason Lebaka.
Yes.
And we're chatting about and I asked him what he thinks. Does he think that Tupac and Biggie, right, would have come to this mumble rap thing? And he said to me, he said something very interesting. He said that they would have had to make a choice, right? They would have had to make a call of whether to stay the rappers that are legends, right?
Yes.
So when we booked them out here, we booked them for a Legends tour. When Castle Light does those ironic TV ads, they might make a choice whether they want to be that, because then they can be like, I still rap like the 90s and you know, I represent an era.
Yes.
Or if they want to still make money and still fill up stadiums and headline being current, right? Mm. And I feel like our industry is in exactly the same place, right? Where we must choose whether we want to be famous for having made a great 30-second TV ad back in the day,
right?
And still be known as the people who do that, or do we want to move with the times and actually, you know, do what you guys are doing?
Yeah.
And I mean, I see that you guys you employ like a vast range of people, with a whole bunch of skill sets. You want to take me through that? I mean, I'm seeing some of these titles, and I'm like, what?
Exactly. So I think what's really interesting is what we tend to do is want different solutions, but we want to compose our teams the same way.
That's right.
Structure the same way.
Yeah.
Process the same way, but expect different results, right? And just slam your fist on the table and go, guys, why aren't you coming up with the new shit?
But
the process has done nothing to help those people come up with new stuff, right?
Yeah.
So we think of ourselves completely differently. So we say, look, let's put together someone who comes from a purely ad creative background.
Yeah.
Let's put it together with someone who is a business analyst. Let's put it together with someone someone who's pure tech, or someone who comes from an IT background. And let's start seeing what kind of solutions come out. And they tend to not be just the solution of putting ads and marketing in front of people, but
that's
more
right.
like, oh, that person just came with a completely different viewpoint on the problem, and we're seeing results. You know?
Sure, dude. It sounds like you guys have a very interesting space.
Yeah,
it sounds like how big is your agency? How many people are in there?
Okay, so at the moment we have about 13 people, and we're moving up to about 25 by Q2.
Ah, because Sunlight just landed, you know. What I mean?
A big one.
Thank you, Unilever. Nothing wrong.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, no, and it's important because that business in particular has shown a lot of commitment to growing a properly black-owned and black-run business,
and I think that's really big.
You know,
clients
taking risks like that is important.
Sure.
But also not taking risks on us as people just doing what you expect us to do, but also giving us the space to innovate and do interesting stuff.
Sure.
You know?
Dude, that sounds amazing.
That's powerful.
I think that's really, really cool. I think that's fantastic. I mean, you touched on something about, you know, about clients trust and all that, because I mean, obviously we're dealing with, and I know, Siabe, you guys, I don't know whether you guys ever dealt with kind of the trust that you have to gain from clients in this whole transforming into like a whole bunch of black owned agencies. You guys never dealt with that kind of thing. Is that a thing as well?
No, that's not really a big problem.
Oh, is it? So you guys never had the problem of, okay, you used to work at a big agency and now that you've started your own thing, it's like, yeah, but all those things that they loved you for in the previous agency, now they're like, because you're on your own, they're like, yeah, I don't know.
But I think for us, it's more or less of skill, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The skill that you've shown to a client while you're still under a big agency,
you know,
it's I think it's much more easier for you to, although you're going to a small agency that you're setting up, you know what I mean? Of course, there'll be other difficulties, like, financing big jobs and all that, you know. It's quite a problem at times, you know. But in terms of delivering the work, the quality still remains.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then I think also the way you know that this is your baby.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't have half day, 5 p.m., you know?
Yeah. But that's true. And I don't think, I don't think any of us kind of go out there and start these things and slack, because if anything, you work twice as hard.
Yeah, true.
But there's obviously, you know, some of the stigmas that you have to fight, because like you said, financing, right? Because people now start going, but who's backing you? What do you mean, who's fucking backing me? Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm here to come up with business solutions, but you're talking to me about who's backing me. Yeah. So it's interesting. It's interesting. And obviously, I mean, you don't come from a traditionally advertising background, do you?
No.
Good man. That's why you can come up with solutions like this. you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But what's your background? Where do you start?
So very interestingly, I kind of developed a passion for advertising.
Yeah.
Probably around grade 11 when we started having to look for career stuff. I was convinced I was going to be a business lawyer until I did job shadowing and I sat for a day and I was like, no ways. Right? Like, so I think because I didn't sense any creativity in the environment, I was like, no. So that's what drew me into like the marketing space when I was traditionally more like a bit of a nerd, right? I love computers. And when digital marketing kind of started growing and I started seeing like this interesting mix between technology and this and business and advertising, that's when I really started getting interesting, because it had all the things that I've always been interested in at being young.
Yeah.
You know, and I've studied a lot of different things. So, yeah.
That's fantastic. Right.
I think this is my lost brother.
because for me,
how I started, I studied software engineering school.
Yeah.
You studied software engineering?
Yeah, I studied software engineering school. Yeah. And then,
advertising always finds these people who go and start something and have made a bad call.
Yeah. for me, the program that I did back at school was called software engineering and multimedia. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So Photoshop was just a minor there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then that's where I really started everything else. And then from there, I started as a designer. And then from there.
So you were meant to go and fix computers. They showed you Photoshop for 5 minutes. Then they're like, no, that's it, guys.
So for me, you know, I fell in with, I fell in love with advertising after design, you know, and then after that, I worked as a UX designer for a small company back in Botswana.
Yeah.
And then, before we started Wildfax Africa, you know what I mean? And
that's
then,
dope.
And then for me, it was design meets software engineering that I did.
Yeah.
You know, so when it comes to developing programs, what we do, you know, it doesn't really become much of a hassle. You know
that's
what
right.
I mean? So I sit down, draw a program, and then give it to the programmer, and then he does the coding, and then I just make sure that everything front-wise looks
good. Sure. You know, the more we talk, you know, the more I'm thinking that somebody needs to be looking at, you know, if we're going to call these places advertising schools, someone needs to be taking a really close look at what that syllabus is, right? If we're still, you know, kind of traditionally writing, teaching kids how to write TV ads and just how to prevalent and emboss a font, there's obviously something that we have to be looking at in kind of to change in accordance to where we're going.
Yeah, I think there's a huge space for that.
Yeah.
While I think it's very critical to have people who know and are trained to create compelling messaging.
That's right.
Because that still matters, right?
Yeah.
Even if you see it on Facebook, it's got to be compelling. So
yeah.
I think there's still a huge space for that, and it's still such a unique and beautiful talent to have.
Yeah.
But in the continuous learning environment, with the internet and everything, there's no reason why you
Absolutely.
Can't know trillions of things instead of like two or three things.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
It's this kind of idea of having T-shaped people, which is what we have in our organization.
That's right. Yeah. I was going to get into that. Because I've seen, like, I mean, I've gone through some of these profiles, you know, also Facebook and kind of Instagram has made it okay for people to have special stalking skills. You know what I mean?
I'm fine
with the fact that I was able to like troll and stalk. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So that's what I did. You know, I stalked your people, and I see that a lot of the guys have like and yourselves, you know, shout out to Luis Sawyer, who is the executive creative director out there, who I got to work with at FCB at my time in FCB.
Yeah.
But I also see that, I mean, all the guys kind of have qualifications from these universities in the US. So I mean, I'll start with you. You know, I mean, there's like developing innovative ideas for new companies from the University of Maryland, you know, University of Virginia, you know, and all that. Is that something that you guys are obviously like strict about, that people stays
very,
learning?
Very strict. Very strict. Very. So it's one of the things where like literally like you've got to do something to build your continuous learning.
Yeah.
But we also make sure that whatever you're doing and learning is at the cutting edge of that field, right?
That's right.
So you're not learning it from the guy who learned it. You try to get it from the source.
From the
right?
source. That's right.
And
I
then,
like that.
Yeah.
I liked it a lot. Boom.
Yeah. And then what you do is you try to convert that learning into our environment, right? So what we do as a process is you literally have to do like some courses. The company actually puts you on these courses and pays for them. If you don't finish them because they're elective courses or you drop out or whatever, you pay us the money back, right?
So it's
a lot of pressure, right? But what it means is no matter what happens at Bamboo, you're always getting people learning the freshest stuff, always understanding the latest knowledge out of global environments.
That is so dope, man. Yeah. I dig that a lot. I mean, it for me, it sounds like a model that beats any kind of training model that I've heard about up until now.
Yeah.
You know, because normally all you hear is that, like, yeah, I want to go and do a management course. Okay, cool, fine, go there. Yeah. And then, you know what I mean? Yeah. And then sign this piece of paper because then now you're bound to us for 2 years. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And whereas this feels like it's an incentive that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's an incentive that pays off almost immediately.
And as much as you want to learn, we'll pay for. So
that's
the
right.
other thing is it's an open model, right? So you've got some people in the company who are so knowledge hungry that they're like literally like studying all the time.
Yeah.
They're like
eating all this stuff
up. Stuff, right? And we're like, cool, we'll empower you to do that. And some people are like, look, you know what? I'm actually comfortable just doing like two courses. And that's okay. It's not about ranking people based on their learning, but it's starting to bring out the uniqueness in different people.
That's dope.
Some people are logical, some people are creative, and how do we help people with their strengths?
That's dope.
You know,
that's so dope. Yeah. You spoke about T-shaped people.
Yeah.
Let's break that down for my listeners out there.
So the idea of T-shaped people is really dope, and I think you'll find that a lot of young people in business are starting to be T-shaped just because of the amount of information there is that's accessible. But it's really the idea that you've got one kind of thing that you know really well. So let's say, for example, you're a programmer and you do that really well, but it's also important to spread out like a T. So you understand a little bit about business analysis, you understand stuff about creative, you understand stuff about psychology, you understand, right?
Yeah.
Because ultimately, a programmer who doesn't understand people is creating software for computers, right?
Boom!
So you've got to understand people. So we don't take it that you're a programmer and you get to put your headphones on and just write code. No, that doesn't work.
How people use it.
Exactly.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
But at the same time, you can't be a creative that knows nothing about computers or knows nothing about
That is fantastic, man. Right. I love that.
I read about it like 2 years back from Tom Kille. Tom Kille, the CEO of IDEO back in the States.
Yes. Oh, cool.
Yeah, he really put it up clear in terms of how Harvest Them
Was. And the importance of that. It sounds like it should be something that we should all have known.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, it's something that you know.
It's very important because, you know, it really makes you you fit anywhere in the organization.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? As a programmer, you can easily create a finance solution. You know what I mean?
That's right.
Because you understand a bit of accounting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you as a designer, you understand that, okay, it's very important to space the numbers.
That's right.
Kind of things that, you know, when you have those people in your team.
It's like things like when letting and kerning meets finance.
That's
insane, man. But you spoke about, I mean, just talking about like the size of the organizations, you said we when you spoke about the wow factor.
Yes.
How many of you guys are in your organization?
We're a growing team. At the moment, we're a team of four.
Okay.
But we can grow as good as 20 depending on the project.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
do you find yourself using a lot of freelancers?
Yes. And then I have Timiso Mabusela, who's the MD.
Shout out Timiso Mabusela. What's cutting, boy? The Obama.
And then I have Calvin Busilo, who's the CD.
Shout out Calvin Busilo. What's going on? Calvin was a TBW at some point, right? He was at TBW at some point.
No,
right?
we still work together.
Oh, right. Yeah. So, let's go.
Because what I do with Wild Facts Africa is that we have an arrangement with TBW. So we work hand in hand. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And then we have a guy called Sabela Masasa who does a business there. You know what
I mean? Yeah, okay.
So together we also run Ideas Expo.
Yeah. You know, that's dope, man. I hope you guys know what you've just done, right? You guys have just described these two entities that everyone's going to want to work at.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And either the people are going to come work with you guys or people are going to go to their bosses and ask for crazy ass shit.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah.
So it's your boy, G-Man the Admin. I'm still hanging out with my boys, the new friends of the show, guys.
Yeah.
Sabe is an old friend of the show. But I'm hanging out with Neo Matao and Sabe George out here on Cliff Central. Hit me up at Blacksim or at CliffCentral.com, sorry. And remember, we also have that WhatsApp number, 079-748-2090. Hit us up with some questions, you know, some hard questions. questions, some easy questions for the guys. You know what I'm going to do right now? Because, you know, even though we're at Cliff Central, we also have to take a young break. So I'm going to take a very, very short break. And then we're going to come back. And I'm actually just going to, I'm gonna just delve in a little bit to find out exactly who these guys are. You know what I mean? Like we want to, like, this show likes to know, where are you from, yeah, Nick? You know what, yeah, I mean? So hit us up on all those platforms, at Blacksim on Twitter and at CliffCentral.com, sorry. And on WhatsApp is 079-748-2090. And on the other side of this, we're still chatting to these guys. It's Blacksim. It's G-Man the Ad Man. Boom.
If you're in a South African advertising agency, your third bottom line has undeniably got to be the development of black talent and the transformation of your agency. Maybe we're spending a little bit too much money on awards and not enough money on training and transformation.
G-Man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on clipcentral.com.
Advertising people are some of the smartest, most creative, wisest people I know. Like, truly. Money is a recreatable asset. Time isn't. Boom. Time isn't.
With G-Man the Ad Man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on clipcentral.com.
Yeah, what's up? It's your boy, G-Man the Ad Man. We're back. That was the wonderful sound of Mr. John. Elton John. And Mr. George Michael. And my name is Eddie. Hey. Marco Sonke Zondi. Yeah, we're back. We're still back. Yeah, man. It's a song that reminds me of a dope homie of mine. But yeah, before that, great words from Mr. Chris Godz and Mr. Loiso Matinga. So dope important words.
Yeah.
I mean that thing that Loiso says about money and time.
Yeah, powerful.
I mean, you know what I mean? I think they should be making that should be an entire course.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Because of how we get caught up in this shit. So advertising has traditionally, you know, and I know in South Africa, it's traditionally been, you know, it's always felt like it's for the city people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you have to be from Joburg.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it never felt like, and I'm, when I say Joburg, I mean Sandton. You know, because I mean, for me to have found advertising, like, kind of was in a roundabout way,
yeah,
and all that. And I always like knowing, you know, like, where did advertising find you? I mean, I know it found you also, like, you know, in the middle of a computer class.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, you know, where's Neo Matao from?
Yeah, so now Kholetsa Rockville, I came from Rockville.
Oh, shout out to it. What's going on? Rocktown.
Yeah.
Rocktown. Does it mean you speak like the Homoloy? Fandi Rock, Fandi Tone. Exaggerate like this. I stayed here by the Elka.
Hey,
that's Rocktown for you.
Please. Yeah, you know, hey. And they're always making us do cricket, and they've got horses, a question thing.
Yeah.
I've never understood what Rockville King, its fascination with this British stuff. Black people prance around on horses. It's a strange
place. Between Rockville and Pimville and that golf course.
Nah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So all the way from Rockville, you lived.
Yeah. That's where I grew up. And then we moved to the south. So, Gilakadulako Monde. So, those two places, I think, are instrumental. Mental.
Right.
I went to Sacred Heart College, and then I went from there to did a year at Vega, and then I eventually studied at UJ and finished my degree in UJ.
Right.
So that's been my background. But I think more importantly, those kind of places are really weird for a lot of people.
That's,
you know,
right.
It's like, it's not places that you like visit, right? So people, when they know Soweto, Banakana, Orlando,
never been to Vilagas.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right.
Sam, have you been to Vilagas since you're here to hang out with us from Mozart?
No.
You haven't been to Mandela's house?
No, you don't do this thing right.
Hey, you don't do this tourist thing right.
Yeah, the only place that I've been to in Soweto is this thesis store.
Thesis. Yeah, what about the cool kids? This is what happens when you hang out with us here, different you.
Yeah.
This is what happens.
trade.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that one pizza.
Is that the traditional doctor?
Yeah, that's yeah, the son. Yeah, yeah, it's a shaman. Get it right, Nick. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But tell me, I mean, are you also Sabi? Are you from Gabs? You know what I mean?
No,
are you from Gab City? Or did you, did advertising also like find you like, you know, from somewhere far and then you, where's Sabi from?
I grew up in a village.
Oh yeah?
My entire life before I moved to Gabs.
Okay.
I grew up in a village called Madinare.
Madinare.
Madinare. Right. Next to a town called Slibepikwe. Funny enough, O'Neill.
O'Neill, yeah.
O'Neill who works here.
Yeah.
O'Neill who grew up in Pikwe.
Oh, dope. So,
So I grew up there. I did my standard one up to.
Nare is a zebra, right?
No.
What's a nari?
It's a buffalo.
It's a buffalo. Teachers.
So I grew up there. I went to primary school there. Yeah. Went to a primary school called Madinare Primary School.
Yeah.
I did my from standard 2 until standard 7, and then I went to a secondary school.
Yes.
From form 1 up to form 3 at in Makome.
Yeah.
Still there, and then from there I went to SPSS, was in Pikwe, and then from there I said, like, okay, cool. I want to start something IT related.
Yeah.
You know, but
yeah.
You know, back then, but not really back then, but a couple of 8 yeah. years back.
Are you worried about how old you're sounding?
No, I'm 28.
Like, back then. Talk about P94. Yeah. Yeah,
so, I decided, like, I want to do something IT related. And then, like, okay, I picked up a software engineering course at Limkun Kwing in Khabo Road.
Yeah.
And then from there, I packed my bags and then, boom, went to town.
Yeah.
And then I was there for 3 years and then I dropped out on the third year.
Yeah. And you dropped out?
I dropped out on the third year. Yeah. I dropped out on the third year. Then, like, okay, cool. Then I started freelancing as a designer. And then from there, I did a bit of UX and UI.
That's dope. Mm-hmm. But do you think then that everybody who is kind of pretty far from because I don't understand like I'm not quite a fair with like how information is disseminated out there in Botswana. Mm. Do you think that everyone has access to information about different career choices? Mm. Do you know what I mean? Like from where you're from.
Yeah.
Do you think a lot of people have access to the idea of how advertising works or what advertising is?
I think today is much more easier because you know it's right in front of you, cell phone. You know
on the internet. That's
so,
right. Yeah.
So you there are people that probably look up to me or probably look up to you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They understand. Okay. Where did Grant go to school and then?
Yeah.
What makes Grant cool, you know, or what makes Abe cool, you know what I mean? Or what makes
I'm gonna go with just general sweat, you know what I mean? I'm just gonna.
So it's easy to look it up, it's easy to look it up, and then from there you can like decide, okay, I want to do this, you know what I mean? And then of late, I'm seeing a whole lot of photographers coming up in Botswana because, you know, probably they look at the guys like I see the thing, you
that's dope,
or they look up to one of the best photographers in town called Kabo,
anyway,
so and other guys there, you know, so it's much that's more dope. Easier. You can see their work and say, okay, what does it take for me to start this? Does it take for me a startup pack camera and then from there, you know, move on and everything?
That's it, right? And I guess that's kind of a running theme throughout today that we've been talking about like how the way we receive information has changed and how everything has changed. You know, like it doesn't necessarily take a guidance teacher to come and talk to you about photography now.
Yeah.
Now the idea of photography really literally exists.
And we tend to see kids who are coding at 9, 10.
Yeah, man.
You know what I mean? As long as you're good on math.
Terminator told us this was coming, guys. This is kind of... You guys are excited. The machines are coming.
You know what I mean? So you see a guy with very good logic at 10. You know what I mean? 11, from there, they're very fluent in 3-4 languages.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then imagine 10 years later what that guy can
what
do.
Yeah, what the kid's going to be. So, that's crazy shit. Yeah. I'm interested though now. Tell me why when you finished all this stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, you kind of went the takeaway. Why didn't you go to an agency? Why didn't you go, guys, I mean, I studied at Vega, and you know they preach the gospel of the agencies and the Ogilvies and Bill Benbachs. Why didn't you go to an agency?
Okay, so I did spend, I spent about a year at Two Tone.
Ah, right.
Agency, right?
Yeah.
And that was important
with Mr. Carlo Murison.
Murison. Yeah. So that was a critical step for me. But that came from an entrepreneurial venture. So
right.
The first thing I knew when I came out of school was I want to be entrepreneurial because I felt like we needed more businesses around us and doing different things.
That's
so
right.
Less copycat businesses, right? So we had an outfit called Whatbox, which eventually joined in with Two Tone. And okay, I was attracted to the fact that there was this thing called strategy, which was like really exciting to me.
Yeah.
Because I was like, okay, so in strategy, this is what you do. You mix these things. And that sounded a little bit more like something I liked and wanted to do.
But when I got into it, I was like, okay, it's missing something.
Yeah. Right? Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's when I knew that, okay, it's time to build an outfit that's different and purpose fit to do something a little bit different.
Absolutely.
That box doesn't really fit what you need to do, you know, to deliver client value.
That's great.
So it was, I think I've only been in the industry for about 3 years working for other people, and the other 10 have been in my own business.
That's dope. But I mean, you've had that idea in your mind from jump that you knew that, you know, you're going to be difficult to work.
It's tough.
It is tough.
And I think that's something that I started understanding when I got my team.
Yeah.
Was not fearing being challenged.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm a very challenging person.
Yeah.
So, working above me is quite tough. Right. But when I became the CEO of my company, I'm like, geez, these people are challenging me.
Yeah.
Right? But how do you keep that challenging environment and not kind of be like, shh, you sit in your place and kind of go, maybe that person's right.
Yeah.
You know, and like change your mindset. So.
Sure. It's such a difficult thing to learn.
Yeah.
I'm in the process of learning that as well, and it's tough. Mm. But tell me, what do you think it's like to work for Nell?
Hey, yo, kibua haolo. That's what my colleagues will tell you.
Yeah.
But it's just the imparting knowledge kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I spend a lot of time imparting knowledge. We've got like kind of an open plan, very lateral.
Yeah.
So we're always talking to each other. So you might find me sitting like with someone looking at a piece of design.
Yeah.
Or you might see me sitting with like the strat team, like drawing models, doing things like
Absolutely.
That. So I'm involved in all the parts of the organization. So everyone gets like my involvement. So that's what it's like working for me. Really.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Guys, like I said, I mean, I don't know what you guys realize that you've done, right? Because I'm sure there's going to be like a whole bunch of CVs and phone calls coming up to you guys.
Yeah, and we're taking in, like I said, we're growing quite quickly. So we are looking for people.
Right.
It's just our model for looking for people. Like, I know there's a lot of people who use recruitment agencies and things like that.
And then you take that grade photo that you put on Peace Community.
Yeah, exactly.
Send me ID photo, but you can laugh.
Exactly. So for me, platforms like this are really important because I want people to hear how we work and what we do. And I want them to seek us out because that resonates with them.
Ah,
I don't want them to think, okay, I'm coming to fill this role, or I'm looking for a CD role, or I'm looking for this kind of role.
That's great.
I'm looking for someone who hears the Bamboo story and goes, damn, I resonate with that. And whatever configuration you get put into is based on what skills you have.
That's so dope, man. That's so dope. Tell me about the name. Tell me about Bamboo Network. How did you guys arrive at that? How did you guys arrive at the Bamboo Network?
Yeah, so that was a lot of work thinking about that. We went through some dumb names.
Boing so.
We expose. Next thing they'll be like, hey, you're not as smart as But honestly, the key thing for us is when we looked at the bamboo plant, it was like such an awesome thing, right?
Yeah.
It's flexible, multi-purpose, right? But also what's important is when you look at the cellular structure of the plant, it replicates itself, right? So it actually is like lots of little plants growing inside a plant.
Ah.
So there's a little like network inside there. So the idea is everyone is an individual, everyone is unique, but we can come together to make something flexible, but something strong that is useful.
What you don't know is that I said, Bakoni, we were going to call ourselves Bamboo as well because of that story. Because I had that same rationale. No, dude, that is fantastic, man. Yeah. I really, really dig that.
Yeah.
And you know what? I think it's going to be one of those places that I, from what we're talking about
for sure.
I think it's going to be one of those places that we're going to look back and it's going to have been one of those beacons. That has literally turned how we see advertising and how we do stuff, but from a practical level.
I feel like
we're in an industry for practical and people who claim to be doers, we do a lot of talking. You know what I mean? And we do a lot of planning. You know what I mean? We're constantly sitting around and talking about what we think we should be doing, and I feel like you're already implementing.
So a big thing for me, right, is also people target big clients, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, wow, okay, we want to sign it. That's really cool, right? And with a lot of these big businesses, because they've got great market share, the business is doing right, getting distributed properly, the impact that you have isn't as big as you think, right?
It's like,
you become very commoditized very quickly. It's like, let's just switch you up. But what we end up saying in our annual report is affected very little by what you do, right? So what we're starting to find very challenging, like for example, you've got a client, Argon Asset Management. They've been voted the number one asset management company, like, you know, in South Africa, and they're a black
firm,
right.
But even on social media, they're now the number one asset management brand on social media, right? And it's a black firm that's considered very small.
Yeah.
So in terms of skill set, the kind of results that we're getting for them building their retail business, that's really huge.
Yeah.
So the thinking has greater impact in places that you don't imagine.
That's amazing.
So I'm hoping that when people come up with innovations, right?
If
we get something like an Uber coming out of South Africa,
they
think to Bamboo to get them like big growth. You know
what
I'm saying? And not just the big clients and tackling each other, trying to fight for these big clients. While I think we've got a lot to contribute, I think we've got another completely different offering for someone who's trying to grow.
Wow, inspiring stuff, dude. Inspiring stuff. Look, you don't understand how easily these hours fly by, right? Because we're almost out of time.
It moves,
we're literally almost out of time. But I mean, like I want your 60 second version of this answer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about your view on the rate of how the game, the advertising game in South Africa is transforming.
Okay. I think firstly, the type of people that are coming into the space from a talent perspective are looking for something very different.
Right.
They're not looking to be in boxes. In fact, if you just look at Fees Must Fall, it's telling you the attitude and mindset of the people who are coming to work for our organizations. It's people who are very politicized. It's also people who are very conscious of their value and very conscious that they want to contribute value in different ways.
That's right.
So we have to change our organizations to fit our workplace, but we also need to change our organizations to fit the marketplace.
Boom.
Right? And that's important too.
That's what's up. Guys, that is what's up. That's what I'm talking about. Guys, once again, it feels like these hours are flying by quicker these days. But gentlemen, thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming
hang
out.
Thank you.
It's been such a dope time. Where can people get a hold of you? Where does people get a hold of? Where do people get a hold of Siabe and Wow Factor?
Our website is wowfactorafrica.com.
Yeah.
Or they can email me siabe@wowfactorafrica.com.
Boom.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And hit this man up when you're in Botswana. Mm. Hit this man up when you're in Botswana.
Yeah.
Dope shit.
Yeah,
cool.
And now, how do people get hold of Bamboo? How do they get hold of you?
Yeah, sure. So it's www.bambonetwork.co.za.
Yep.
All our contact information is on there.
Fantastic.
And you can talk to different team members. So it's not really about talking to me. It's about talking to someone who interests you.
Dope. Yeah. Fantastic. Guys, that's it. Our hour is done. Thanks so much to my guests for coming out. It's been another great show of G-Man the Ad Man. And I've got hands flying from outside telling me that my time is up.
Great platform.
Thank you so much for great getting platform. On it. You know, guys, get onto the platform. Get onto cliffcentral.com. The podcast should be up in about 30 some odd minutes. Get the podcast. Play it for your mom. We didn't swear too much, so you can play it for your moms. play it around the agency. You know, play it on your way to meetings. Download the other podcasts. Check them out. I feel like there's some really great golden threads that run through the podcast that I think are really important for the conversations that we're having in the country right now. And I think that it's really, really dope. Wherever you are, out there in Botswana, huge shout out once again to my BW people. Guys, have yourself a fantastic advertising week. You know, I mentioned it much earlier that track reminds me of a fallen giant of advertising. So rest in peace, Mr. Mandla Khoza. Man, huge giant, and I know it took all of us by surprise and by shock. So yeah, rest in peace, big bruv. We're gonna be here once again next week, y'all. Take care of yourselves and take care of each other, as the great talk show host has said before. But at the same time, I'd like you guys to know that if this show was on a Friday, we'd be having a tequila. This is Peter's G-Man the Ad Man, and I'm out. Boom!
Shots fired.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
Boom!
South African clients aren't brave enough.
G-Man the Ad Man.
Is this the Donovan Goliath who looks like Nina Hasty?
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on cliffcentral.com. Shots fired.
You have to have more black people in the agency. We tend to apologize for this or be a bit apologetic about how we say it. And it's 22 years down the line. So, fuck that.
G-Man, the Ad Man.
Fuck that.
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on cliffcentral.com.
Cliffcentral.com.